Welcome to Unpacking the Digital Shelf, where we explore brand manufacturing in the digital age. Hey everyone, Peter Crosby here from the Digital Shelf Institute. From P&G to global confectioner Ferrero, and now to helming digital commerce at PE-owned East Point Sports, Rachel Tetreault brings a competitive mindset and a fierce commitment to continually refining the organization, the processes, and the key KPIs it takes to win. Rachel joined me to share her key learnings and best practices from across her adventures in commerce. So Rachel, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast and sharing your expertise and experience with us. I'm really grateful.
Me too. And thanks for having me. This is really exciting.
Oh, of course. It's going to be fun. And one of the reasons I wanted to have you on is that you have such a breadth of experience. You rose up through the ranks at P&G. You ran e-commerce and then strategic sales at global confectioner Ferrero. And now you've taken the e-commerce reins at East Point Sports, a PE-owned company with some of the best sport licenses in the world. That is a flip. A lot of the same motions, but it's such an interesting category change. So I was wondering what led you there? Like what experiences from the consumer goods world are you bringing to sporting goods?
Peter, I've been lucky enough to have an amazing career at P&G, developing key sales, marketing, and e-commerce, leading premium billion-dollar brands across major retailers like Amazon. This strong foundation transitioned me perfectly to Ferrero, where I was able to build an e-commerce and digital infrastructure from pure play, omni, intermediaries like Instacart, as well as DTC. Throughout these experiences, I was able to further refine my abilities to spot and develop top talent, building high-performing organizations to think digital first. And this is something that I bring to the table when it comes to building East Point Sports digital first mindset e-commerce.
I was wondering, you know, in addition to going to a PE-led firm, you changed categories. Like, what are those, you know, you've been there since last October, so you haven't passed a year yet, but I'm sure already you're seeing sort of those moments of congruence and then those moments of, holy moly, this is different and I've got to shift my mindset maybe a little bit. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So I'd say, you know, first of all, it's so much fun to be part of an industry that is accelerating and growing super fast. And e-commerce is already growing fast, but being in the sporting goods, obviously COVID absolutely helped in that regard. But seeing the full potential of this industry is just exhilarating. And so sporting goods in comparison to some of the FMCG categories that I've led before is really quite different, since many of the products and the brands that we sell online require some planning, purchase planning. And the challenge is, how do we capture those consumers at point of entry as they're planning their purchases and drive conversion as quickly as possible? You know, interestingly, confection was no different in terms of the import process on how do we get products into the US, as many of the premium chocolates that Ferrero has sold really came from overseas. So from the East Point Sports, our business today is import driven as well, and which means that, you know, planning, sales planning, and making sure that we have the right discipline within the organization is very critical. And we need to make sure that goods are flowing in so that we can avoid disruption in the full cycle of the sales funnel. So I'll give you an example. If you're out of stock on your digital shelf, you can have the most robust marketing pointing traffic onto the product detail pages. But if it's out of stock because you can't support the demand, guess what? The algorithm breaks. And so then now you have to start all over again in order for you to get the flywheel effect going. And so that's additional effort to the organization or to whomever is running the business. And so I would say that, fundamentally, it's important for us to make sure that we get all of that correct. And that's something that, you know, it's fun to be around because it's part of building the infrastructure.
Yeah, when you talked a bit about it's a planned purchase on the part of the consumer, like it's not an impulse buy.
Correct.
I want that truffle in my mouth right now. It's really more of, this is something that I'm going to want at some future point in time, or I'm starting to think about X. How do you enter them when they're early in their journey? Like, what are the signals that you're looking for to start that conversation with consumers? And are there some channels that are better than others, or how do you think about that?
So a lot of it really stems down to driving the awareness. So in this world, there's going to be a lot of non-branded keyword search terms as consumers are entering and spear phishing within the ecosystem, or whether that's Amazon or Walmart or Target. And so how do we make sure that we're, you know, popping up on top of the search page in that regards, but also at the same time, developing platforms or avenues to teach consumers on how to shop within the category. So as an example, the billiards table or the table tennis table category, you know, how do we make sure that when they are in store from an omnichannel perspective, that they have the right packaging in aisle that's going to help direct them to online to expand on the breadth of the assortment? Because billiard tables and table tennis tables, you know, depending on this, it could be a seasonal timeframe where they have it, you know, in the aisle, but for the most part, it's all online. It's a planned purchase. So how do you nudge that so that you are showing consumers and one, educating them about the category, and then two, showing them the breadth of the assortment so that they can convert easily and shop within the aisle?
So that's so interesting, because you really are then trying to make sure that the consumer is able to connect both their physical shopping experience to their digital shopping experience.
Absolutely.
And how are you finding, you know, I would imagine, and tell me if this is true, that your retailers range from the mom and pop store all the way up to the Walmarts, the Targets. So tell me a bit about sort of that experience of kind of, I imagine you have to approach them in somewhat different ways.
I would say that it's similar, not necessarily different. I would say it's similar in a sense that the journey begins in that wherever they're shopping. So if, say, they started their journey in social media, we want to make sure that we are providing a link or a shop now capability where they can click and direct them to a site, whether that's a mom and pop, Walmart, Target, Amazon, or our own DTC platform. It's important for us to making sure that we're connecting them to, again, either educate if that's the goal, right? To learn more about the details and the mechanics or the specification of, in the example that we've used, a table tennis table. Conversely, if they already have done their research and they're ready to shop, we want to make it easier for them as well so that they can have that click to conversion and add it to the cart and also make their purchase.
That makes perfect sense. And it also, it's in a lot of ways, it does point to the complexity of needing to kind of show up and understand context, which I think is such a crucial part of what everyone to a certain degree is trying to relearn today, in a way, as like the cookieless world is approaching and the things that we used to know, we have to find out in different ways. And it's never a dull moment, right? In e-commerce.
Not at all. That's what makes it fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, one of the central questions that we get from any executive when they're trying to put their strategy together is, how should I structure my e-commerce org? You talked about earlier that it's the people working together. It's sort of the people in the process thing that is so important, and that evolves, can be relatively quickly over time as the importance of e-commerce to the organization changes. And so I was wondering how you answer that question today. How are you organized, and what models, you know, sort of what stands out to you? How do you make a decision as to how you're going to, as you've been at different companies, how you want to approach that issue?
The answer there is it depends. And while that might sound so nebulous, it really depends on a few factors. So categories that, you know, we play in, penetration of the businesses by channel and priorities. What are the goals, the objectives, and existing strength and resources within the organization? And so I look at it more as a puzzle piece. And we really have to match all of those key factors to determine the right structure. The one important piece in my experience is really the mindset of the people within the organization. And I go back to saying that you can build the best structure, but if it doesn't align with where the overall vision is of the company from up top, then the organization could see some headwinds. And in many instances, you know, change management is important, and you have to have the right level of support from up top on how and when, you know, organizations are structured, because we really need to make sure that we put the P&L in that equation and protecting the top and bottom line, because at the end of the day, we're here, to run a business. And so, you know, with that in mind, I like to always approach the organization to make sure that I bring in talent and balance that out with the existing one. But from a cultural perspective, I'd like for all of the people within the organization to have the revenue in mind. So revenue generation mindset. And what really that means is, you know, have a strong sales background, not for all of the functions, because there are some that, you know, that needs to be more of a digital marketing in nature. But really the connected commerce piece is going to be very critical. You know, it's important to have the teams understand the connection between how do you drive and convert traffic into dollar sales. And that's something that, you know, I'm constantly pushing within the organization, and that they're not just running each of the functions in silo, but it's, again, going back to the connected commerce.
That whole journey. Yeah.
That's right.
Wherever the consumer goes. Yeah. You know, you talked a bit there about the importance of having alignment from the top. So I want you to talk a little bit about that, if you can, because I'm imagining, and don't let me put words in your mouth, tell me if I'm crazy, but when you're evaluating what opportunity you're going to take your leadership skills and your experience to, one of the things must be sniffing out, you know, will I have a leadership team that we can be aligned on sort of how the whole business works? And I'm imagining you chose East Point Sports for a reason. So tell me what you found there that said, this is a place where they need me, and I know I can be successful here because we share a vision.
Yeah, so I would say that digital first mindset. And I have seen in my experience leaders where, you know, they put in the head of e-commerce and they think that that's checking a box and that's it, the job is done. Where the reality is, you know, putting in a head of e-commerce is just the start of a new journey in building the infrastructure of how to go to market. And so it's very important to make sure that, you know, in this case, I report to the CEO, for the leadership to have a clear understanding of the impact of e-commerce to the organization and to the business. And that makes, you know, my job so much easier, because then what I need to focus on are the executional components and strategies and the tactics that's going to enable us to deliver, you know, how to capture sales within the channel, how to make sure that we're leveraging the channel to drive awareness of the products in the platform. And then also, how do we make sure that we are thinking about not just, you know, from a commercial side, but also on the back end, whether that's operations, whether that's, you know, product development, and how do we look into the future and develop the right products and assortment that, again, speaks to the consumers that are going on this, that are starting their journey in e-commerce and also finishing their journey in e-commerce and serving their needs.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, you know, Molly Chantal, who runs the executive forum of DSI, and Chris Perry, who runs First Mover, a great educator in e-commerce. And, you know, we've been talking a lot and thinking about it, the DSI, about the real almost business beliefs that need to shift in order for total growth accountability to happen, where what the business focuses on is what are the combination of consumer engagement and messaging and promo, you know, the whole sort of, you were talking about kind of the texture of the entire journey that leads to the sale, wherever that sale happens. And it's a difference from the early days when e-commerce was kind of a testing channel. Now it's really the growth driver, and that must change the way in which you have to interact with the entire organization, because now it's front and center. It's that digital first mindset, right?
Absolutely. And so, you know, it's in the forefront. And again, that's one of the things that gravitated me towards, you know, joining an organization like East Point, because, you know, it should be on top of mind at any organization. It should not be an afterthought anymore, regardless of the size of the business. And, again, in my experience in the past, there are some, you know, organizations that are still using as a percentage of sales to determine if or when they should even be focusing in e-commerce. Guess what? E-commerce is here to stay. COVID obviously accelerated it. However, even if you look at the traditional business, you know, Walmart is pushing, you know, omni-channel strategies across all of the brands and the products and partners that they have. And it's, you know, a testament with them condensing and consolidating their buying teams. So if that's not enough proof that says that, you know, e-commerce is here to stay, I don't know what else, right? Like, to me, that's in your face, you know, this needs to, you know, this needs to be a focus and a priority. You know, over 80% of the shoppers, you know, starts their journey online, whether that's, again, going back to my world where most of it is planned purchase or making a grocery list or pinning, you know, a recipe. You know, and I go back to my belief when it comes to an end-to-end outlook of the business, because every function should be living and breathing e-commerce. And that's not even the future. That's now.
Right. And so often I've seen, you know, from the leaders we talk to, that a person in your role tends to be somebody that is therefore needs to drive the conversation about coordination between all of those once siloed or maybe even still siloed pieces of that commerce puzzle. And is that true? Like the sort of, how do you coordinate across all of this for that end-to-end view of performance on the digital shelf?
That's absolutely still the goal in some companies. It's just the way the organization is structured. And so, you know, you have to be a change agent and you have to, you know, make sure that you're constantly influencing each of the different functions within the organization to make your objective happen. In my experience today at East Point, that was one of the things that I've done when developing the organization structure is I want to make sure that I oversee the sales and marketing side of e-commerce so that I can help manage and control how we go to market in terms of reaching consumers across the different funnels.
Yeah, that makes sense. And when you think about that, I would imagine that some of that, having that control means having the right KPIs.
That's right.
Having the right incentives set up. Can you talk to me a little bit about sort of what are the numbers that you're using to manage the business on your digital shelves?
So I go back to what I considered basic KPI. So your sales, your gross profit, share versus competition to see how you're performing. Typical KPIs on what I would consider sales side. You know, for marketing, digital shelf with content score is very important, as well as ratings and reviews. I use click to conversion. That's also a good indicator if your shelf is engaging. Glance views, I would say, is just as important as well to determine the traffic that's going to the product detail pages. And then lastly, I would consider media ROAS with gross profit dollars associated with the revenue generated from the investment. And that's, again, another good outlook to determine whether or not the true payout is, you know, good, and also understanding the incrementality of the investment.
That makes perfect sense. You know, it's the journey to control or to influence, in some cases, the digital shelf. It just varies depending on the retailer partner that you're working with and how that works. But how do you run and think about your best-in-class digital shelf program? What are the things that you think about there?
So there's a couple of ways we approach it. There's, I would say, striking a balance between the retailer scorecard, because that's also important. And then also, how do we make sure that we are delivering our internal KPIs as well? That goes back to what I mentioned earlier, which is top line, glance views, click to conversion, et cetera. So I would say that we approach it as an organization on a case-by-case basis, retailer by retailer. So we have the standard scorecard that the retailer provide us. So I'll take Target as an example. They generate their own scorecard on a monthly basis to tell you where they are in terms of what they believe is the right approach. separately, we look at it to make sure that it's cohesive across all of the different platforms so that if you're shopping table tennis table category, in this case, at Target, you want to make sure that you are seeing the same exact information and there's no inconsistency. If you went to Amazon and shop at the product within that category. And so that we want to make sure that it goes back to consumer experience, positive consumer experience. And it really comes down to the basic expectations of consumers. So if you are online and you're looking at a product detail page and you read all of the details, whether that's ratings and reviews or a product specification, you want to make sure that you are receiving that same exact thing when it shows up at your doorstep.
Yeah. It's really about confidence.
That's positive CX.
Yeah. It's about confidence and trust.
That's right.
And do you deliver on the promise? And
that's right.
You don't get a lot of chances at that. So there's a, you know, that big need to have that consistent experience across, and it's getting more and more expansive, you know, every day, the number of channels that you need to be thinking about and control.
That's right. And that's why it's important to get the fundamentals right the first time. And there's going to be some iteration and some, you know, test and learn. And that's mm-hmm. the environment that we live in today. And then, of course, like new development within the retailer and how to convey the message. I mean, I'm getting tactical here, but, you know, 250 characters on a title is an example, you know, things in that nature. And then making sure that you're speaking to the seasonality of the product as well, so that you're pinging in on the right keyword terms, depending on, you know, the campaigns that you're running or the season that you're selling in. So that those are critical pieces that allows us to really play within the space.
And, you know, it's astonishing to think, but we're halfway through almost 2021, which seems crazy. Yes, very fast. And holiday season coming up, and I'm sure that's a big time for all of you as well. What's on your mind? What are you thinking about sort of playing with? Where are there areas that you're really thinking about that are going to be critical for you in the upcoming season? That you can share, obviously. I wouldn't.
Yeah. Well, Prime Day is in 2 weeks, that's big. We have to get that right.
Amazon putting it back in summer again.
No, but Q4 definitely, you know, is a very important, you know, season. I mean, really for a lot of companies, not just sporting goods, right? Even I remember when I was, you know, a Pampers and then even a Ferrero. I mean, these are big seasons, right? Yeah. That we need to win. From my standpoint today, it's important to make sure that you have your ducks in a row relative to, you know, product availability. That's going to be very important and crucial because, you know, we're not just fighting for space within the sporting goods category, but we're also fighting for space with, you know, other categories that are trying to get into the FC. So that's really important for us to plan really well and make sure that we have enough inventory to support the demand that we're going to generate. That's one.
Yeah.
The second piece is making sure that our campaign strategy is intact and quite frankly, it locked very, if not locked now, locked very soon. Because, you know, ad placements are going to be very important to make sure that you get the prominent space and placements across the different, you know, platforms that you choose. And then certainly making sure that, you know, the team in anticipation of the event is keeping all of the basic blocking and tackling, you know, intact. Because we don't want things to break. And granted, there are going to be things that are going to break. It's e-commerce, and that's, you know, the nature of the beast. But if you get the fundamentals right, the relevancy is driving and it's going, then we just need to focus on the execution part come Q4.
Now, I love just hearing you talk. One, you just sound so passionate about, you love doing this stuff.
Which I do.
It's really great to hear. And I also sense you may have a bit of a competitive streak in you.
I do. We're here to win. We play to win.
Yeah, yeah. And did you arrive into an organization that felt the same way, or have you sort of amped up that competitive spirit when you arrived?
It's the latter.
Yeah. Yeah. You probably amp it up wherever you get. Yeah.
We can't do status quo. We have to go beyond the status quo. And it's non-negotiable. We have to win. Otherwise, why else are we doing it if we're not going to play to win?
I love it. I love the mindset. I love your breadth of experience. And I'm really grateful that you've chosen to share it here on the podcast. So I have to close with one very important question. What East Point sports product would you recommend to a middle-aged podcaster?
You know,
or your favorite product.
let's focus on the outdoor season because it's here. Can all jam right. all the way
can
through.
Jam.
It is so much fun. You know, you can share it with a lot of your friends and family. And then most importantly, for those who are still on the fence about hanging out with family and friends because of COVID, you know, you have the distance.
A little bit of distance,
which is
smart.
Awesome, which is fantastic.
Did you do SEO off of that? Distance games.
And may I add, you know, just a little plug-in, it's made in America. I mean, you know, you can't beat that.
You can't argue with that these days. I love it. Rachel, thanks again for joining us and for sharing your knowledge with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks again to Rachel for sharing her experience and strategies with us. Please share the episode with your colleagues. And thanks for being part of our community.